Thank you, Randy. And thank you, David and LaRue. And Karen, I guess, is working there. And Bruce is still on the job. Everyone who have part in this service, we thank you so very much. Today is Father's Day. And all of us know about Mother's Day. We know that it was started here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in 1908 by Ann Jarvis. She wanted to honor her mother, and that became a national holiday. But probably very few of us know much about Father's Day. Well, let me say it started the same year in 1908 from a mining accident in West Virginia, in which 387 men were killed in that tragic mining accident in 1908. Most of them were fathers. And so that state began to honor fathers. But if you read a little further, Seattle, Washington says they developed it in 1910. But I don't know. Whatever the stats are, that's not important. But this is Father's Day, the third Sunday of June is Father's Day. Someone asked a little girl, what's the difference between Father's Day and Mother's Day? And she said, well, they're pretty much the same, except we spend more money on Mother's Day. I don't know why girls are given the responsibility. I read of one little girl who was reciting the lesson on creation, and she got her facts mixed up, she said that when God wanted to create a woman, he put man to sleep, took his brains out, and created woman. Well, let me tell you, that's not anywhere near what had happened, and you can just scrap that from your mind. But today is Father's Day, and we have a message geared for the fathers. Across our nation, this third Sunday, June 20th, will it be observed as Father's Day. Since this day is known as Father's Day, I want to fashion my sermon as the marks of a good father. And in doing so, I'll be staying in the book of Joshua and looking at this outstanding man of God of the Old Testament. I trust, fathers, that you are living such a life that your children and grandchildren take knowledge that you have been with Jesus. I trust that you understand, like as a father pitieth his children, so our Heavenly Father pitieth them that fear him. We have a Heavenly Father, and we are earthly fathers to our family members. We should live in such a way that they ought to see Christ in me. Christ is my all in all, and I trust that to be the case. Father was teaching his little boy what a Christian man looked like, and when the lesson was done, that father got the jab of his life. He said, Daddy, have I ever seen a Christian? I trust that men, you are indeed Christians, living out the life. First of all, let me say that the marks of a good father are faithfulness to the Word of God. And here in Joshua chapter 1, we read in verse 7 that all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded thee, you are to observe to do. They'll not depart from thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you might observe to do. Fathers, good fathers are those who have a right relationship to the Word of God. They meditate upon it. They give themselves to it. Nothing will reprove us and correct us and instruct us like the eternal Word of God. It's true. Whether the world believes it or not, this is God's Word, and it's forever settled in heaven. And you can live by it, and you can die by it. We need fathers who will not turn from it, but will meditate upon it, give themselves to them. With that kind of commitment to the Word of God, fathers, you'll be successful and a blessing to your children and to your family. In the book of Deuteronomy, and I read this, you do not need to turn, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God told Moses, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You shall teach them to thy children. You shall talk of them when thou settest in thine house, when thou walkest, when thou liest down, when thou riseth up." We are to expose our children to the Word of God that they might learn to love and live and fear and serve God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the Word of God. And fathers, we need fathers who are true to the Word of God. Secondly, from this very chapter 1 of Joshua, good fathers will obey the Lord. The call of God to Joshua was for obedience. God commanded Joshua to observe, it says, and do three times. Observe and do according to all that I've written. I've commanded thee. Be not afraid, but observe and do. He was chosen of God because he was obedient. He was chosen to be Moses' successor because he was an obedient person. He was obedient when he spied out the country. He was obedient when he brought back the report to the leader. And today Jesus would say, if you love me, obey my commandments. And fathers, the greatest thing you can do is to obey God. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, that by faith Abraham obeyed God. It will take faith to obey God. Abraham obeyed God and went out and traveled where God had sent him, even though he was as a stranger. And the greatest thing you can do, fathers, for your family, is to obey God. Samuel said to Saul, who disobeyed God's commandment to get rid of Agag and the idols, Samuel said to Saul, "Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram." The greatest thing you can do is to obey God, not hearers only, but doers of the Word of God. Blessed are they, of course, that do and obey the Word of God. The influence of an obedient life will come out in your children and grandchildren. Be obedient. There's a little island in the North Pacific called Iwo Jima. Its surface is volcanic. It's like the surface of the moon. And for that piece of land, 21,000 casualties, American troops, gave their life. It was a turning point of the battle with Japan. It was our victory. And I say to you, the men that went there to conquer didn't have a feeling of adequacy or inadequacy, or courage or no courage. They simply obeyed a command and they went and did it. And the thing that God requires of you, Dad, is that you obey the Lord. And then in Joshua chapter 5, we see that good fathers will worship the Lord. The marks of a good father will be spiritual worship. We have seen Joshua's life. He gave himself to the Word of God. He obeyed God. Now we will see him worshiping the Lord in reverence and humility and in godly fear. We read in chapter 5 that when they were by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, chapter 5, verse 13, and over against him there was a man standing with a sword drawn out. And Joshua said, "Art thou for us or for our enemies?" And he said, "Neither." And he said, nay, but I am the captain of the host of the Lord. Am I come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. That individual standing there was an Old Testament picture of Christ. When we get to the book of Revelation, we see that he's the one who will bear the sharp two-edged sword. And Joshua fell on his face and he worshiped and he said, my Lord, my God. And God said, loose the shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy grounds. As father, we need to lead our families in spiritual worship. The act of spiritual worship. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God delights in his ways. And we need to lead our family in spiritual worship. As a pastor, there was nothing that I enjoyed seeing any more than to see parents with their children in church, opening in their hymn book and opening the scriptures and showing them this is where it's at. To see mother and father and children and young people worshiping together in the house of God in reverence and in godly fear. And when you come first face to face with God, the thing we want to do is to fall on our faces. We're in holy ground. We have a wonderful Lord. We need to live in such a way, dads, that our children will revere us and respect us and honor us and be helped. One day, a devoted father came into the room where his 8-year-old son was dying of a leukemia, an incurable disease. The child was sensing that he wasn't going to get any better. The discomfort was still there. And he said to his dad, am I going to die? His dad looked at him and said, why did you ask that? Or are you afraid to die? And the son looked at the father and said, no, not if God's anything like you, Dad. Can our family look at us and respect us as we lead them in spiritual worship? Good fathers get up and stand up for God. In chapter 7, we read that Israel had lost 36 men. They were defeated in Ai. And when Joshua got the news, it says he rent his clothes, he fell on the earth on his face, and he said, oh, Lord God, would that we had never come over Jordan. Would we were back in the old country. Would to God that we had been content with dwelling on the other side of Jordan. And God said, get up off of your face. Get up. Why liest thou on thy face? There is a time to pray, and there's a time to get up and put legs to our prayers. There's a time to bring our problems to God, and there's a time to do our part in solving those problems. Sin was in the camp. How should we deal with it? He was whining. He was questioning about, have we come out here to be destroyed? Should we go back to Egypt again? And God says, get up. There's sin in the camp. And Joshua got up and acknowledge the sin. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And if there's sin in our life, we need to acknowledge it and confess it. Good fathers will get up and stand up for God. Be strong in the Lord, Paul said, and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Put on truth and righteousness and faith in the word of God. And having done all to stand, stand. Good fathers will get up and stand for God when troubles come. When troubles come, may we be found still on your feet, standing your ground, holding your ground. Good fathers will get up and stand up for the Lord. Good fathers are strong for God to the very end. But there are so many today turning back and giving up and quitting. But the marks of an ideal father, a good father, is that of enduring. We're in the book of Joshua. We're staying there. But as we move on to chapter 14, we pick up another person, Caleb. Caleb, if you read his story, and Joshua were like twin brothers. They stood together. They traveled together. They served together. They spied out the land. They brought back a good report together. And it's hard to separate them. They were men of God. And so now here in chapter 14, I said we were going to look at Joshua as the ideal father, but we're going to turn to Caleb. And he says, I'm now 85 years old. I was 40 when I spied the land out. That was 45 years ago, and now I'm 85. And I want you to give me this mountain, which God spake. If it be so, the Lord be with me, I shall be able to drive them out. And Joshua gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, gave him the land, because he wholly followed the Lord. Four times in three books, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, it says that Caleb wholly, wholly, wholly followed the Lord. Out and out he followed the Lord. A Christian should be stronger in the faith now than when he first believed. Is it so with you? Are you stronger now than the day you came to Christ? He was strong in the Lord. He wanted a challenge. He wanted to give God the credit. He wholly followed the Lord. Your children, your grandchildren, generations to follow your posterity will be affected by your influence. May I use a personal illustration? I try not to do that, but let me use one. My grandfather Evans. I remember him picking me up and praying for me. Many of his posterity are missionaries and pastors today. He loved the Lord. He went to Mahaffey Camp. I don't know whether you ever heard of Mahaffey Camp. But he went to Mahaffey Camp back in 1919 in an old Model T. Took his family. Their families took their families. Their families took their families. And because of his dedication to God, his children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren have been influenced by them. I enjoyed reading the story of Gypsy Smith. He was a national, international evangelist. And before he went on his first preaching tour, he asked his dad to come see him. He was a godly father. And Gypsy said to his dad, Dad, I'm asking you to present me before the throne of grace every day. And his dad kind of smiled and chuckled. He said, my son, with a twinkle in his eye, my son, I did that years ago, and I've never taken you away. I do keep presenting you every day before the Lord. And Gypsy Smith said, with a godly father like that behind me, the Lord has to do something with me. Yes, good fathers will be strong for God to the very end. And then in 24, Joshua 24, we find that good fathers rule their households well. Joshua was a leader. He was a leader of the nation of Israel. He was a leader of the armies of Israel. He stood for God courageously. He expressed his convictions. He dealt with sin. He gave public testimony. He would not compromise his faith. But not only was he a great leader of his nation, he was a great leader of his home. He was the head of a nation, but he was the head of his home. As fathers, we need to be able to say to our children, serve him. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, An ideal father is one who says, we're going to honor God. He controls his household. Oh, he doesn't club them, and he's gentle and kind and loving. The Bible says that by faith Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his family. Noah was concerned with his family, and his family was saved from the wrath to come because Noah moved and provided. Job rose every morning. Chapter 1, verse 5 of Job says, he rose early in the morning and offered a burnt offering for his children. Now his children, you know the story, 7 sons and 3 daughters were taken from him. God gave him back to him. Someone said, how many children is Job going to have in heaven? Is he going to have 10 or is he going to have 20? Now that just came to my mind. You can just throw that out if you want to, but if you want to, you can answer that next week if you're so mindful. Good fathers provide for their house. Patrick Henry, that great man, wrote in his will, I have now disposed of all of my property to my family. There's one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is the Christian faith. If they have that, and I've not given them a shilling, they would be rich. But if they have not that Christian faith, and I'd given them the world, they'd be poor. The greatest thing you can give your family is to be a leader of your house. If any man provide not for his own, those of his own family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Good fathers appeal for a decision. And I close with this. They appeal for a decision. Joshua said to his family, choose this day whom ye will serve. And I believe that the fathers, and as a parent, the Bible says we're in Christ's stead. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says we're ambassadors for Christ. We stand in Christ's stead. Christ is not here, but we stand in his stead. And we plead with our children to come to Christ. We pray for them. We present them before the throne. And we're not satisfied until they have come to Christ. God said of Abraham, I know him, I know my servant Abraham, that he will command his children after him. He'll give them the truth. When Jesus came into Cana, where he made water wine for the second time, a certain nobleman came, a man of great authority came and said, come down and heal my son. He's at the point of death. And Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you just won't believe. And that nobleman said, sir, come down ere my child die. He pled for Jesus to come down and touch his son. We too should come to Jesus and plead for our family to be saved. We should say, choose this day whom ye will serve. We want to bring them up and train them up. Don't just send them, but bring them up and bring them to the house of God. If you have children that are without Christ, I certainly urge you to very compassionately appeal for a decision. You are in Christ's stead. He's not here, but you are. And he's counting on you to make that decision. I read a number of years ago of a revival meetings that were going on in Cincinnati, Ohio. And at the close of the convention, the evangelist said, is there anyone here who is miserable with sin and they'd want me to pray for them? Raise your hand and come forward. One young man got up and came forward and said, I'm tired of my life of sin. And he learned when he was talking to him that for 8 years he's been wandering, left his family, and was an alcoholic. The minister advised him to write home to his family. He did. And in a week he got an answer. The letter was bordered in black. When death occurred back in those days, they would put black around the envelope. And when he opened it up, his tears filled his eyes. And it was from his mother. And she said, "My dear son, the joy which your letter brought to our hearts was only exceeded by the sadness which was there at the same time. For as far as we can tell, the hour that you found Jesus, your Savior, your Father, was going through the skies to be with the Lord Jesus." All day long that day, he writhed and prayed and said, "Oh God, save my poor, wandering, wayward son today." We tried to divert his attention, but he kept coming back. "Save him today." And then as evening drew near, we heard him say, "Oh God, save." It was finished. His prayer was finished in the presence of Jesus. And then down at the bottom of the letter, the mother added a note, "You're a Christian today because your father would not let God go. Dad, you have a key part to play in the salvation and the life of your children." Joshua was a man of God. He was a man who was faithful to the word of God. He obeyed God. He worshiped God. He stood up for God. He was strong to the end. He ruled his household for God, and he made an appeal for them. "Choose whom you will serve." This is Father's Day. I thank God for every father here. And it's not easy being a father because our children have their own wills and their own everything. But I'm in your corner. Let's bear the marks of a good father. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for every father that's here and those that are not here. We realize that this is quite a day for fathers to be out. We pray that you would keep them safe. Father, have your way in the closing moments of our service.